Raspberry.com/Bosch.
It's hip to be square. Yeah. So hip to be square.
This is the Big 550 KTRS, the Friday edition of the large morning show in the afternoon. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Oric. Seven locally owned and operated Oric home centers in the St. Louis area. You can also see what they offer by going to their website, O-R-E-C-K. That's Oric.com. And at this time on Fridays, Oric always sponsors this gentleman right here, Mr. Joe Hipperson.
Yes.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Paul. How are you, sir?
I'm going to start off by bowing to you for beating me in the Oscar picks last week. I let's not beat around the bush here. You and I agreed on every category, but just to have a safe choice, just in case 12 Years a Slave didn't win, I chose Gravity, and that's where I fell one pick behind you with your perfect slate. I got 5 out of 6. You got 6 out of 6. So I'm here to bow down and congratulate you.
I appreciate that. It doesn't matter how many you got right or wrong. It just matters that you lost. That's all.
Thank you very much. The check is in the mail, as we say.
Oh, look at that. Convenient. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I really wish I had a good movie to talk about, man. I really do. Do you have anything good to talk about?
I do.
Oh, great. Well, why don't we talk about something good first?
Okay. I'm going to talk about a movie that's a documentary that was made by Penn and Teller. Now, when people hear that, they're going to think it's some sort of magic stuff or some sort of debunking stuff or some sort of wacky comedy. It's not. It's a documentary about a guy by the name of Tim Jennison. The movie's called Tim's Vermeer. Vermeer, famous painter. Tim Jennison is a guy who was an inventor and has created video production tools, including one thing called the video toaster. It has nothing to do with toast. It was a device that was used in TV stations in the days when you used to have to load up the clips that you were going to play in the course of a broadcast day or in a newscast, and they would all be on different videotapes, and this thing would allow them to get that stuff on the air much faster. He developed hardware and software. He's one of these guys who, after you read a little bit about him, you go, okay, this guy is literally a genius. And this movie shows him as kind of an eccentric genius, because I don't know anything about art. I don't know much about this painter, Vermeer. One of the most famous painters in history, and a guy who created paintings that were so real, they almost looked like photographs. And many people have wondered, how did Vermeer do that hundreds of years ago? And this guy, Tim Jennison, kept looking at the art that Vermeer had done and trying to figure that out. And then, because he does stuff with optics and other things, he one day thought he had an answer. And I'm not going to go into the whole explanation of what he comes up with, but using this, what he presumed was the solution to the problem, he then designed a system that would allow him to paint a Vermeer himself. Now, here's the catch. Before this, Tim Jennison had never painted anything. And here he was going to try to replicate some of the most amazing art ever painted by a human being.
Does any of this involve a conspiracy with time travel or aliens?
No. It is a documentary about a real guy over the course of several years who undertook this project. Now, Tim Jennison has time and he has money, and a lot of money. The kind of money that allows him to build fancy equipment. And at one point, he sees a Vermeer painting and he decides that's the one he's going to try to reproduce. And in order to reproduce it, he recreates the entire scene that's in the painting. The painting is called The Piano Lesson. And he builds everything that is in the painting into a room in a warehouse that he has rented. And I'm talking about stuff that is centuries old, and he takes the a lathe to cut the legs of the furniture to make it match exactly. The windows have to have just the right kind of glass in them so that he can see it and look at it and paint it the way it is actually in the original painting. And then he decides, well, I'm going to be as authentic as possible. He doesn't use modern-day paint. He goes back and does research into what kind of things went into the paint that Vermeer must have used hundreds of years ago, and he then grinds stuff down and makes his own paint and his own optics, and I mean, it's remarkable. You sit there, if I told you, oh yeah, this is about a guy who you're going to watch a guy paint. You're gonna literally watch paint dry. You'd never go. But the process, and I'm always fascinated by process, the process that he goes through, Joe, in order to replicate this movie, this painting, it makes for a damn good movie. And I will tell you, the first thing he says in the movie, and remember, Teller is the director of this, and so he's on the other side of the camera when Tim says this, he says, I honestly don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I read an interview in which Teller said, when Tim said that to him, the next thing he said was, well, if I can't do it, we don't have a movie, right? And Teller says, no, this is going to be a movie either way. Whether you're successful or not, this is a movie. We're getting equipment, we're getting people, and we're going to do this. And it takes years for him to try to do it. I won't tell you whether he actually accomplishes it at the end, because I don't want to... We try not to spoil the movies for you here, but I will tell you, it's the road to that conclusion that is fascinating. I saw this movie over a month ago in a press screening, and I've been looking forward to being able to tell people about it. It is, I mean, this is redundant to call a movie about painting an art movie, but that's what it is. You know, it's the kind of thing that'll play at Plaza Frontenac or the Tivoli, and you're probably going to have to search it out to find it. But it's called Tim's Vermeer, and it is one of the most fascinating and well-done documentaries I've seen in a while. Penn Jillette serves as the narrator. He's on screen because Tim Jennison is a very close friend of Penn's, and that's how the whole thing started. And just to watch the process that he goes through in trying to recreate this magnificent piece of art is stunning. 8 out of 10, Joe.
Wow.
Yeah, 8 out of 10 this week for Tim's Vermeer.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything that's even close to being in the vicinity of the greatness you just described. I have 300.
What about Peabody and Sherman?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Dan. I had to pick one or the other, man.
Oh, man.
300, Rise of an Empire. Now, before I start, Paul, did you watch the first 300 movie?
Nope.
Anybody in the studio?
No.
Scenes of it, no. Not
okay.
The full movie, no.
So you guys know it's a movie where a bunch of guys are in a big, giant green room. Everything is populated, you know, after the fact. It's a big, giant special effect movie. This is the movie that introduced everyone to Gerard Butler's abs and a whole bunch of soldiers that are wearing basically Speedos. I don't know how that protects them in battle, but somehow it works. And 300 Rise of an Empire is, I thought, oh, okay, it's the sequel of 300. That's the catch. It's not. But it's also not a prequel either.
What?
It's not a reboot.
Hmm?
It takes place at the exact same time that 300 takes place. So, essentially, you're seeing the same kind of movie, only a different battle taking place outside of the battles that you saw in the first movie, 300. It would be like if they did Saving Private Ryan 2, or you know, something to the effect of it's the exact same time period, only you're watching different battles.
Oh, here are the Americans who landed on the other beach in Europe that day, on D-Day.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a premise to that where maybe that would be interesting, but in this movie, it just doesn't really work that well because anything you liked about the first 300, you're going to realize was the actors. I mean, once you get over the special effect of, oh, look at the landscapes, look how neat it is, it was digital trickery, once you get over that, and it's kind of easy, you get over right away because you already kind of got wowed by that. There's an expression, and you know, you don't do the same gag twice. You try and find a different gag. One of the best examples that ever, I think, was Back to the Future 2, which essentially is the same movie, but they do it and turn it on its head, and it's brilliant. In this, they keep flashing back, which isn't really the right expression to use since it's happening at the same time, but they'll show you and remind you what's happening from the first 300 movie, which only makes you wish they would stop doing that and just go back to the first 300 movie. You're already in the theater. You wouldn't mind watching it again. You liked it. That's why you're there for the quote-unquote sequel. But it just doesn't work, and it fails on every level possible because there are no good actors in this that you want to root for. There's no one that you're going to discover. We discovered Gerard Butler in the first one. We had Michael Fassbender right before he blew up in the first one. There's nothing like that. There's the very, very, very hot Eva Green. Very hot Eva Green. Yes. I mean, I thought she was okay as a Bond girl. Ever since her Bond Casino Royale days, man, she's really turned into a decent actress, and she can really hold your attention. But it's more about the guys than it is the girls, and it just, it flops out. It's not a good movie. It is a, it's a weird attempt to make an original type of idea for a sequel, but it just doesn't work that well, because the whole time you wish you had seen the first one. 300, Rise of Empire, gets a 3 out of 10.
Wow. Is it going to do anything in the box office this weekend, despite the negative review?
Oh, I think it'll do fine in the box office. In fact, I mean, right now, you know, Nonstop obviously was going to do what it did last weekend, and it deserved to do that. This weekend, I think Nonstop isn't really the kind of movie you go and watch again, and there's a lot of fanboys out there that rally for the movie 300 and really dig it. They're going to go no matter what, because they're going to get exactly what they think they're going to get, which is a bunch of guys beating each other up and a lot of CGI blood splattering. And look, if you want to be a zombie like that and you just want to check out at the door and not see anything worth your time, fine, go for it. But I think if you're looking to see a new movie and you haven't seen Nonstop yet, that's definitely a good ticket to buy, because it's a fun ride to take. I really wasted my time with 300 Rise of an Empire. And I wasn't a huge fan of the first one to begin with. I want to be honest about that. Not being a huge mega fan of the first one, maybe that is swaying me, but I just felt it was a big mistake, and I really advise everyone to avoid it.
No, you could have, you know, instead of wasting your time with that, you could have made Dan happy and gone to see Peabody and Sherman.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what? Even from the trailers to that, I already despise the movie because they don't, Peabody, the voice, it doesn't sound the way I remember the voice sounding. It's a different actor. I get that.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't know. And there's so many gags in the trailer that it's, I like the old school Peabody and Sherman shorts. I really like those a lot. And I have a feeling that this movie will be like watching the Smurfs all over again.
I don't really remember Peabody and Sherman. I remember the guy and I remember the dog, but were they part of another cartoon show?
Rocky and Bullwinkle. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because this is one of the segments.
I love the Jay Ward's Rocky and Bullwinkle shows. And Fractured Fairy Tales and the other stuff that he had
on
there.
And the Nikolai and Natasha, right?
No, Boris and Natasha.
Boris and Natasha.
Yeah. That was
another part of it.
Yeah. I draw piano out building. Yeah. Who does piano fall on? Me.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Rocky.
Right.
Watch me pull a rabbit out of my head.
Right. So Peabody and Sherman was on that show?
Yes, yeah.
I don't remember.
Peabody and his boy Sherman.
Because the dog is he's like the dad for the kid. He's like a surrogate dad for the kid.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Are modern-day children seeing Peabody and Sherman somewhere on one of those cartoons like Boomerang or one of those?
I don't know.
Nonstop.
You know, sometimes you can get like a throwback, like you see an episode of the Jetsons or the Flintstones, but I can't remember the last time on a television I saw anybody playing Peabody and Sherman.
Yeah. That's why I'm surprised this became a movie. Has there been another movie and this is a sequel to it? Or?
No. This is the first. And I wanted to go see it, but you know what? My daughter doesn't know who Peabody and Sherman are.
Yeah, neither does mine.
And other smaller kids aren't going to know who it is. So this is mainly, I think, for the adults to go take their kids and introduce them to Peabody and Sherman. And hopefully the kids will like it because it's CGI. But
I think if you've got kids, and what age group, Joe, would you say Peabody and Sherman is targeted to? Like six?
I think it's targeted to, I would go 6 to 10.
Okay. So if you take people who are parents of 6 to 10-year-olds, let's say they're in their, like, 25 to 35-year-old range, probably.
They're not the right dental for the original.
Exactly. They were not Peabody and Sherman fans. They were not Rocky and Bullwinkle fans.
And I'll tell you what, Rocky and Bullwinkle, they were, for a cartoon, all that stuff was a little older. I didn't get the humor until I got older.
Oh, it was very clever stuff.
Yeah.
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 So I wonder what the appeal of this movie is going to be.
Certainly
not going to be anything like the appeal of a Lego movie, right?
Oh, God, no. No. But you know what? I mean, by now, I think most of the huge Lego fans have probably seen it twice, and this is the next best thing. And they've been littering, theaters and TV with, adverts and whatnot for Peabody and Sherman. And I got to admit, man, I'm not a fan of the movie so far from what it looks like they're doing with it. But my 8-year-old son, as every time a trailer comes off of that, he always laughs out loud. And I'm like, and what's he laughing at? He's laughing at, like, dumb sight gags.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying anything negative about my kid, but he's laughing at the stuff that doesn't do anything to connect to what that old segment used to be.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I'm not trying to be a snob, but I don't feel they're keeping it real, if you pick up what I'm putting down.
All right, before we get to what's going on in the clubs this week, did you Travoltify your name this week?
Did I what?
You know, on the Academy Awards last Sunday night, John Travolta was introducing Idina Menzel, one-time Tony Award-winning star of Wicked, who sings that song Let It Go from Frozen, which won the Academy Award for Best Original Song. But when he got out there to introduce her, he blew her name on Sunday night.
Adele
Dazeem instead of Idina Menzel. Forget about the haircut he was wearing that night. Everything is right there on the teleprompter. if you don't have your contacts in, put them in so you don't say Adele Dazeem. Well, the people at Slate put together a Travoltify Your Name widget within 24 hours.
We were doing that the other night. My daughter and I were doing that. We were doing different names, and I can't remember what my name
for
was.
For you, Dan, I just checked. David Smoyv.
Smoyv.
Not David. No. Daoud.
Daoud.
D-A-U-D. Daoud Smoyv.
That's what I came up with. Daoud Smoyv.
Ian's laughing, but Ian, your name is Issa Thompson. And by the way, for that, I didn't put an E in Geis, I put an E on the P on, and it came out Issa Thompson. Mine actually sounds like a name, Paige Harviss. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Paige Harviss Show. And Joe, your name also sounds like a regular name. I think you could use this when you get your own radio show again. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jake Hargison.
Hargison?
Hargis, H-A-R-G-I-S-A-N.
Wow.
Yeah. That's you. The Jake Hargison Show, everybody.
Yeah, we were cracking up the other night doing that.
Yeah. All right, so what do you got for us in the clubs this weekend?
Just a couple of quick little options starting tonight. We have the Hot Cross Buns over at Plush. Mountain Sprout is at the Old Rock House. Angel Lust over at Fubar. Shaved Women and Catholic Guilt at the Heavy Anchor.
Wow.
We've got also Lesbian Poetry at Cafe Van Tarrant. And on Saturday, Benedict Arnold on stage at Fubar. Mad Dukes and Fresh Kills at the Demo. Dino Fight at Lennon's. Solid State Disaster on stage at Firebird. And last but not least, all right, I got 5 shows for you, and 4 are absolutely real. 1 is completely made up. Are we ready to go?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Loop Rats, Saturday at the Demo. Apollo's Creed, Saturday at the Firebird. Lumpy and the Dumpers, Friday at the Heavy Anchor. Coffin Cats, Saturday at Fubar. Ray Good, Friday at Focal Point.
Oh, man.
What was the 4th one again?
Coffin Cats.
I like either Lumpy and the Dumpers. What was the one before Lumpy
Apollo's
and the Dumpers?
Apollo's Creed.
Yeah. I'm going to do Apollo's Creed.
Yeah. Coffin Cats.
I'm going Coffin Cats, too, because I think we've had Apollo's Creed and Lumpy and the Dumpers in the actual list of shows. So I'm going to go with Ian here, and we're both going to go with Coffin Cats.
Well, you should have followed Dan Strauss, because Apollo's Creed is absolutely fake.
Oh!
There we go. I appreciate you, Dan. I'm starting to smarten up again. That's awesome. I'm going to jump. I'll talk to you guys next week. I'm Joe Hipperson for the Big 550 KTLS Hip on Entertainment.
Nice job, Joe. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.
Joe's brought to you every week by ORIC, 7 locally owned and operated ORIC home centers in the St. Louis area, and they're online at ORECK, that's ORIC.com.
Let's get a look at the highways and see how this Friday afternoon rush hour looks, Tim.
Well, Dan, they've been working with this accident. It's on Highway 21 south of Susan Hills at Walden Ridge before Merrimack Bottom, and they've been calling more emergency crews out there. It looks like they may have the southbound lanes totally closed down, and then the northbound lanes, one lane getting through, but it's been out there for quite a while, so just be, you might want to try a different route, Route 30, or take Highway 55, try to get around that mess. On westbound 44, we are running a little bit slow now between Mraz and Bowles Avenue. On westbound 40, it's the usual slowdowns now. Kings Highway through McCausland, from Ballas out through Mason, you're slow from Long Road to the Boone Bridge, and then it looks like we're heavy from about Prospect up through Highway 70. Westbound 70 is slow from Highway Z up through Highway 40, and where they intersect in Wentzville. Southbound 270, a little bit heavy now between Page down through Ladue. And if you are traveling on eastbound 270, we're going to find it slow now, just a little east of McDonald through New Florissant. This traffic report is brought to you by the Missouri Lottery. Play it forward with the new $250K triple play draw game from the Missouri Lottery. Each ticket features three games and nine chances to win a top prize of $250,000. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm, turn to KTRS for the latest weather updates, road conditions, and school closings. The Big 550 KTRS. Depend on it.
This Thursday through Saturday, it's the Affordable Kitchens and Bath Warehouse Sale.
I didn't know that.
Know what?
That Affordable Kitchens and Bath has warehouses on sale. Well, I know they have 10% off all scratch and dent appliances, all cabinets, even custom cabinets, plus tons of closeouts, 10% off 2-centimeter granite slabs, 5% off custom 3-centimeter granite and quartz kitchen countertops, 25% off in-stock granite and marble vanity tops with the purchase of an in-stock vanity cabinet, free garage deliveries on orders over $2,500 within a 25-mile radius of the store. Designers will be on hand, but I didn't know. You could buy warehouses on sale at Affordable Kitchens and Bath.
No, the warehouse isn't on sale. Just the contents of the warehouse are on sale this Thursday through Saturday.
I knew that.
And chickens have lips. It's the warehouse sale.
Where almost everything, but the warehouse is on sale.
At Affordable Kitchens and Baths, 4600 South St. Peter's Parkway, between Kisker and Central School Road. For more information, call 636-441-1550.
But do you know where I can buy a warehouse?
What's better than watching Michael Wacha in last year's postseason?
The kid pitcher shutting out the Dodgers.
Well, how about taking home his bobblehead on April the 11th? If you like that one, you also won't want to miss Jack Buck, Jim Edmonds, or the Secret Weapon Bobblehead Days. Get your tickets through one of our promotional packs or as an individual game. Tickets on sale now. Don't wait. Visit Cardinals.com for more information.
Fans, this is Michael Wacha. This season, there's a lot to celebrate when it comes to Cardinal baseball.
Your Cardinals are National League champions for 2013.
We'll start by celebrating the club's 19th National League championship with a pin night on the second home game of the season. Following that, you can take home my bobblehead, NL Champs ring, pennant flag, jersey, and trophy days. There are promotional packs and tickets available at cardinals.com/promotion.
Listen to these Cardinal fans up here, man.
What if I told you could reverse diabetes and stop taking your diabetes medication? If you or someone you care about has diabetes or prediabetes, there's a special free video you need to watch. You may have heard about this. It's all over the internet. 99weirdspice.com. People who have followed this plan at 99weirdspice.com reportedly have not only normalized their blood sugar, but have stopped taking their diabetes meds completely with their doctor's approval. 99weirdspice.com is a natural, drug-free approach to reversing diabetes with remarkable results in as little as 4 weeks. 99weirdspice.com will save you from being a slave to doctor-prescribed drugs. It's easy. 99weirdspice.com gives you three specific actions to get your blood sugar under control. And the best part is the main ingredient and solution is a common spice found in most kitchens. Watch the free video for yourself at 99weirdspice.com. Watch for free, 99weirdspice.com. Get back the quality of your life and free yourself from diabetes medications. Go to 99weirdspice.com.
If you're overwhelmed by debt and thinking about going to a credit counseling company for help, think again. Because the majority of those companies actually work for the credit card companies, and they make the credit card companies a lot of money. from people just like you. But there's another way out of debt, and it's not bankruptcy. A way to reduce your debts and save you thousands of dollars. Even better, you can find out how for free by calling 1-800-403-1020. At Freedom Debt Relief, we're not a credit counseling organization. We're not a debt consolidation company. We offer a unique alternative to save you the most money possible to resolve your debt in the shortest amount of time. If you're thinking about a credit counselor, ask yourself this. Are they working for you or the credit card companies? Reduce your debts and save thousands of dollars by learning the secrets to settling your debt. For free information, call 1-800-403-1020. That's 1-800-403-1020. 1-800-403-1020.
Hi, folks. This is John Shea, Mr. Fix-It. If you're like the rest of us, you got junk all over the house. I want to help you get rid of some of that clutter around the house. You know you've been wanting to, but just haven't had the time, energy, or muscles to get it done. Well, you need to call the helpful people at Pitch It and Forget It at 314-932-1100. Pitch It and Forget It is a residential commercial junk removal company. Their professional staff will come to your house at a scheduled time and remove the items no longer wanted, freeing up valuable space. Pitch and Forget It will remove old TVs, appliances, home remodeling waste, rugs, old couches, furniture from your attic, basement, garage, or anywhere in the house, and you don't have to lift a finger. Pitch and Forget It will even clean up after themselves. They're eco-friendly, recycling most items, so call Pitch It and Forget It at 314-932-1100. That's 314-932-1100, or visit their website at pitchit.us. That's pitchit.us. Don't forget, call Pitch It and Forget It, 314-932-1100.
Hello, everybody. Terry Hall. Hey, This Week in Real Estate is this Sunday from 10 until noon. That's right, this Sunday from 10 until noon. And next week, we're going to give away a prize if you can guess when we'll be on the air. But this Sunday, This Week in Real Estate's on from 10 until noon. That's 10 until noon this Sunday, This Week in Real Estate with Terry Hall right here on the Big 550 KTRS. That's This Week in Real Estate from 10 until noon this Sunday. I'll look forward to seeing you there.
There was a time in my life I wanted to be a pimp.
Oh, yeah.
Just to do the woo-woo in this song.
And the dance and the twirling.
Yeah. I was never much of a twirler. But the woo-woo, I was a... Yeah. Thank you, Gladys. He said he's going back to find... A great song. That's the Big 550 KTRS, the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. I am Paul Harris. Bill Cleveland will be with us in about 15 minutes. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, of course, the Harris Challenge, Mike Evans... and knuckleheads in the news. Now, I heard you guys talk about this story yesterday or the day before, but I just want to put my two cents in on this guy who is suing a Las Vegas casino because he got so drunk there that he lost $500,000. His name is Mark Johnston. He says that he had several drinks before he got to the casino. A casino in downtown Las Vegas, which is a really grungy place. I can tell you that as a person who's been going to Vegas for over a quarter of a century on an annual basis and multiple times a year for quite a few of those years. If you go, don't be fooled by, you have to go downtown and see the Fremont Street Experience. No, you don't. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to go down there. But
well, maybe just go down there just for that and then leave right away.
Yeah. No.
No, you wouldn't even suggest.
No, because I've taken people there. The first time I went down there, I went, oh, okay. And then I took my wife and my daughter there one year, and I took them down there, and their reaction was, are we done? Let's get out of here. It's dirty and dangerous down here. So, no, you don't have to do that. There's plenty of stuff to do on the Strip or elsewhere in Vegas. So this guy, Mark Johnston, was going to this place called the Downtown Grand, which I'd never heard of. I think it's a place that must have been some other name, and he refurbished it, or who the owners refurbished it. And he had a few drinks before he went to the casino and started playing blackjack. And unlike in Missouri and Illinois casinos, you don't have to pay for your drinks there. They will bring you a drink, or if you ask for it, and you just tip the waitress. $1, $5, whatever you want. And you can have as much as you want. It's an all-you-can-drink buffet. It's like going to one of these all-inclusive places in the Caribbean or in Mexico.
Yep.
Where lots and lots of people think, I spent a lot of money on this trip, and I'm going to get my body's weight in alcohol to make up for it. I completely understand that. And I know plenty of people who, you know, that whole, oh, you're turning 21, let's go to Vegas, and we'll drink, and we'll party, and we'll go to the clubs, and all that sort of stuff. And, okay, you know, that's fine. It's America. You're allowed to do that, and that's fine. But I, at a certain point, get a little sick and tired of people who drink and then don't want to take responsibility for their actions. And this guy, Mark Johnston, is a high roller. That's why this casino in Vegas wanted him there. I'm sure they gave him a suite in the hotel. They know that this guy has lost a lot of money, and he, in interviews, has admitted that he has had $500,000 up or $500,000 down swing on various trips. So he is a high roller. And I don't feel any pity for this guy whatsoever, because he got so drunk that he says he at one point blacked out.
Wow.
Couldn't even see the cards on the blackjack table. Continued to play and ended up losing $500,000. Now, again, the personal responsibility part of this kicks in. You're an adult. You know that you like to gamble, and you like to gamble big. This was not a $5 table he was playing at. It was not even a $25 table. I'm guaranteeing you that. He also knows the effect of alcohol, because he drinks. He's had plenty of drinks before in his life. And so he goes there and gets drunk. Now, did the casino aid and abet his drinking and gambling situation there? Absolutely. His lawyer, and yes, he's suing the casino, says that Nevada gaming regulations state a casino isn't supposed to allow a visibly drunk person to gamble, and they're not supposed to serve comped drinks to someone that's visibly drunk. If they are caught letting a drunk person gamble, they're subject to discipline from the Nevada Gaming Commission. Now, the commission says they can't confirm that there's even an investigation going on here. The guy's lawyer says there is, but the Nevada Gaming Commission says we have no comment on anything related to this story, which tells me they're not going to be ruffling any feathers here, because the Nevada Gaming Commission gets by thanks to the casinos being successful, and people losing $500,000 will contribute to the success of a casino. So here's my question, and we can turn this into a quick little Harris poll here. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, star KTRS, on most cell phones. Should this guy get anything?
No. I don't. Personally, I don't think so, because he should be responsible for even when they come up and say, would you like another drink? He knows he's getting trashed. He knows he is.
Yes.
You know, you can tell when you're starting to get buzzed and starting to feel the effects of the alcohol.
Yep.
So you can say no. But he just kept drinking and drinking. It's interesting. I was at the over at a casino in Illinois and playing blackjack, sitting there playing blackjack. And this guy that was visibly trashed came and sat at the table. His friends were kind of standing behind him. The pit boss went over and told the dealer not to deal anything right now, and went over and called security. Security came over, stood by the guy, and the pit boss called his friends over and said, you have to take him out of here. We can't allow him to play blackjack right now. Mm-hmm. He is visibly drunk. He can't think straight. He doesn't know what he's going to be doing, and we can't allow him to. And they got belligerent with the pit boss and belligerent with the dealer and security and everything. They ended up taking him out and escorting him out. And the pit boss told us at the table, we can't allow that because we know that this guy was just trashed, so we can't allow them to do that.
Yeah, by the way, if the law allowed it, we would have let him do it, by the way.
Yeah, oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah, so there has to be tape there. I wonder if you can see this guy, because, you know, they're supposed to tell people, you can't, we can't. Because my cousin on his 21st birthday in Las Vegas was the same. He was the last one. Everybody else had gone to bed. He's still out, and they cut him off. They said, we can't let you gamble anymore because of state you're in.
But that phrase, visibly drunk, I know people who can really hold their liquor. Even when they're not holding their liquor, they're not falling down, slurring their words drunk. I mean, you can see that they are having a good time, but where is that line? You know, the guy has his third or fourth drink in an hour. Okay, maybe he's starting to feel good. Maybe he's getting a little bit buzzed there. I'll grant you, this guy says they gave him somewhere between 20 and 50 drinks. Doesn't say over what expanse of time that was. But at some point along the way, he was at a line where you and I would probably consider ourselves to be drunk, but he didn't. And he continued to do it. And again, it's not his first time. It's not like somebody said, hey, let's go into the casino here. Bring all your money. Let's go into the casino here. I know you've never been in here, but let's give this a shot and see how you could do, because you're a pretty good blackjack player. Let's give it a shot. And then they kept giving him free drinks, and he'd never had drinks before, so he didn't know what that experience was. You know, then you got a different story. Here's an experienced high roller and an experienced drinker in the same body. Where's the personal responsibility? To me, this is a little bit like when people get off from car accidents where they were drunk. I didn't know what I was doing behind the wheel. I don't care. You hurt something or somebody while you were behind the wheel of a car that you lost control of for whatever reason. There's a responsibility that goes with that. I'm tired of the I was drunk excuse. Let's go to the phones. Is that Brant on line two there?
Yes.
Brant, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hello. A couple things. One, maybe related to the driving, like you just said. If he had left the casino and gotten in a car accident, I would think the casino would probably be a defendant in that suit. Certainly, if somebody could prove they served him 20 to 50 drinks, I think somebody would be going back to him. And then another way, Paul, if I took you out, and I know you don't drink, but say I took you out and we went out drinking, I fed you 20 to 50 drinks. I put out a contract in front of you, had you sign it. More than likely, that's not going to hold up in court, too. So I think the 20 to 50 is certainly excessive, and I think while I don't necessarily agree with it, I think he may have somewhat of a point.
What if you took me out as a non-drinker and you talked me into having a few beers one night, and I had three or four beers and I was buzzed? And I know that I don't drink and I can't handle alcohol, and but I willingly agreed to go along with that. At what point is it my own fault?
Well, you're not capable of consenting to a contract at that point.
No, but I consented to put the alcohol in my own body to begin with.
I hear you, but if you're incapacitated, I think they're going to, and I'm not a lawyer, but I would think there's some kind of argument that the contract would be invalid, and I think this, to some degree, could be related to that.
All right. I will tell you this, Brad, if you took all the drunk people out of casinos, you wouldn't have a lot of casinos.
I think 20 to 50 drinks, though.
No, I agree.
Pretty big number.
I agree, but my point is there are people who would have four drinks and be buzzed and maybe act irresponsibly with their gambling at that point, more irresponsible than they would otherwise. What do you do about them?
So the buzz, I mean, 20 to 50 drinks, and we don't know his blood alcohol. But,
and we don't know how long that was, you know?
But for most people, I mean, that really is getting close to blackout, if not death. If you're talking even beers, I mean, that's a lot of booze, even over, say, a 10 or 15-hour period. That's a lot of drinking. I just, if he was at that point where you can't, you're incapacitated, I don't really see, I think maybe they were in the wrong to continue letting him play. But,
all right, Brad.
I'm the guy that runs with bulls, so I'm a little bit crazy anyway.
Oh, I remember you. Okay. Thanks for calling. Here's Paul on the Big 550. Hello.
Oh, AM and PM.
Thank you.
Just want to say, people like this make me ill. They really do. And what I would really like to see happen, I'd love to see happen, is them go to court, the judge look at them and say, you know what, I'm fining you a 10% stupidity fee, and Mr. Lawyer, I'm finding you a 20% stupidity fee. Now get out of my courtroom. just for a judge to do that once with people like this, I think would stop some of this ridiculous lawsuit crap they're pulling for no responsibility.
So you don't think that the casino is responsible at all and should not give any of his money back?
No. I mean, anybody that says, as you say, well, they know better than to serve me a drink. No, that's their business. That's how they make millions upon millions upon millions of dollars every year. And to say it's totally on them and not on me because I like to drink is absolutely absurd.
Yeah. All right, Paul, I'm glad you called. Yeah, to me, that would be the same as going in there and saying, well, wait a second, I just found out the casino had an edge. That's not fair. Then in every game I played, they had a better chance of winning my money than I had of winning their money. That's not fair, and I want my money back. Really, you didn't know that going in? Really, you didn't know that taking $500,000 to a casino and drinking a lot might not work out well for you? Ken, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hello, sir. I'm calling because I think we're in a hell of a personal responsibility. Somebody has... You got to be responsible for yourself.
Yep.
I'm tired of the government saying that they got to regulate this. They got to... It's up to people to be responsible for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is ridiculous. The man went in, he lost, if he'd have won $1 million, he sure as hell wouldn't have given it back.
That's exactly right. Yes, he would not have said, you know what, I was so drunk, I didn't know what I was doing. You should never have given me the drinks, and you certainly should never have given me all those chips at the end that I walked away with and cashed out and took and put in my bank account. That was my mistake. I shouldn't have done that. Take the money. He would
Here's your money.
Never.
No, I just feel that people, first of all, drinking and gambling don't go together. And if people haven't realized that by the time they walk in a casino, that's their problem.
Yep.
I play cards. I played poker with you, by the way. People have to be responsible for their losses.
Ken, did you take any of my money?
Sir, I would not mention that right.
You want to call an attorney?
Unfortunately, that's a yes, and I wonder if I was drunk that night.
Uh-oh.
Ken, I'm glad
you were cold sober, but anyway.
I always am. I'm glad you called, Ken. Thanks. We got a break. And Bill Cleveland's coming up next on the Big 550.
Meep, meep.
Get a look at traffic right now and check in with Tim Weiland. Hello, Timmy.
Hey, Dan. Well, they're still working with this accident. I found out a little bit more about it now. The southbound lanes on Highway 21 at Walden Ridge, both southbound lanes and the center lane are shut down. They are clearing it now, but they're using the far right northbound lane to go north, and they're using the other lane for southbound traffic. So southbound 21 now is backed up to Suisun Hills. We are running slow on eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason, downtown from Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 70, slow spots between Jennings Station Road and Lucas and Hunt. You're heavy from 170 past the airport and a little bit heavy as you get towards the Blanchette Bridge. On southbound 170, you've got stop-and-go traffic now south of Delmar through Highway 40. This traffic report is brought to you by Preparation H. Hemorrhoids, try Preparation H. Relief with the power of two. First, fast-acting preparation medicated wipes, then longer-lasting maximum strength cream. At Walmart, use as directed. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Station promo.
Out of my way.
The Big 550 KTRS.
I'll listen to this.
Where St. Louis comes to talk.
Did you realize for what you're now paying in rent, you can actually be buying your own home? It's true, even with questionable credit. Stuart Rosenblum at Stuart's American Mortgage can show you how. Stop giving that money to the landlord. Put it toward the purchase of your own home. And Stewart's American Mortgage can even help you find that home based on your current financial standings. You see, at Stewart's American Mortgage, you're dealing directly with the owner. And there's no better way to get things done more quickly and economically than that. No middlemen, no information that has to be passed around. You're dealing with the top guy right from the start. Don't be confused. There's only one Stewart's American Mortgage. On the internet, it's stewartsamc.com or call 314-324-4440. Funds are currently available, but you must act now. stewartsamc.com, 324-4440.
Hurt on a job or in a car wreck? Let the experienced lawyers at Brown & Brown help you. You know our law firm. My brother's a lawyer with the eye patch. At Brown & Brown, we can help you so you can concentrate on getting better. We'll take care of the rest. You can go to our website at brownlawoffice.com or to speak with an attorney. In Missouri, our phone number is all threes, 333-3333. In Illinois, our phone number is all eights, 888-8888. And always remember, at Brown & Brown, if you can't come to us, we'll come to you.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.
I'm hungry.
Looking to try a new local restaurant?
Yes, I am.
Search Kuna Foods' new dining website, bestrestaurantsinst.louis.com. Like them on Facebook. That's bestrestaurantsinst.louis.com.
Thanks.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S. and now features a third rack. See it at Best Buy today or visit bestbuy.com/Bosch.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland, along with Bruce Slimprist and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company. 314-652-3456, or download the STL Taxi app. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hey. Hello, and happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, we'll lose an hour of sleep this coming weekend. Or you can be like me. I plan to get that hour back by the end of the Lego movie.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama called Russian President Vladimir Putin and had a conversation for about an hour. Unfortunately, the only thing the two of them agreed on was that they both hate the girl from the Progressive insurance commercial.
Flo? Why would you not like Flo, lad?
Common ground. That's good, though. Obama said he's searching for a solution to the problem in Ukraine, and if that works out, he said he'd consider doing something about the problems here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Prioritize.
And the bet that the Roger Clemens threw at Mike Piazza is up on the auction block, if you're interested. The event will be handled by the We Have No Shame auction house.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, this afternoon, I love this. It's great. A high school student in Evansville, Indiana, used a billboard to ask a girl to the prom. That's nice, right? Yeah. Took a lot of work, though. The first nine times she drove by, she was too busy texting. The Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company, and you can join us tomorrow night for trivia night here on the Big 550 starting at 9. I'm Bill Cleveland on Big 550 CTRF.
What if it was one of those billboards that are always so bright, but they change every 10 seconds, and she never saw it because she missed it every time? Harris Challenge coming up after the 5 o'clock news on KTRS St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Severton.